Hi, and welcome to the Honoring Hour. Today is June 2nd, and we are glad to have you here with us. My co-host JR and I are proud to have Carol Elia on our show. And how are you, JR?
I'm wonderful. Good morning, Lynn. Good morning, universe.
Wow. That song likes to play. We're going to have to make sure we have time to play it in its entirety at the end of the show. Okay. Sorry about that, JR. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful, and I'm just glad to be here and enjoy the time that I have with you this morning, with our special guest, and with all of our friends out there in the universe.
Right, right. And we hope you all were able to join us for our meditation last week. I wasn't able to check and see how that went after the fact. We liked it. We will be doing it again at the end of this month. And we're going to stretch it out a little bit just so that it doesn't feel so short and cut off. So just wanted to give you guys a heads up about that. So today we have with us Carol Elia. And Carol is a wonderful individual who I've known for several years now. And she has been following her passion, which is something that's near and dear to my heart, by getting together and training and breeding therapy dogs. So she's got her own website, and I'm going to let her pronounce it because I kind of butcher it, and then we'll make sure that you all have it to access it because she's got a new litter of pups coming up. And Carol is in the Fredericksburg area, and she does do work with hospice, and she does work independently as well. So Carol, how are you doing today?
Good morning, Lynn. I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. I'm great.
Cool.
Do you want to kind of give us an idea of what exactly you do and how you got started?
Sure, sure. Well, like you said, I've known you for several years, and there've been a lot of good times, Lynn, and I really love you. And I'm glad we've been able to reconnect in a lot of ways and work together on some really great joint ventures here. My background with therapy dogs really goes back to when I was a child. My own dad died when I was only 19 months of age, and I was raised by my mom, who at that point was only, I lost my dad 19 months of age, yes, I said that. And my mother was 19 years old, and my sister was 6 months old. Well, I was given a beautiful German Shepherd dog that really helped me. At that time, it wasn't really known too much about therapy dogs, at least, you know, in the world that I came from at that point. But I was given a dog that was from a police dog. I believe that was the background of Jocko's lineage. And I just loved him, and I loved him, and he was awesome. And so throughout my years growing up, I was just had dogs, always had dogs in the house, and I always knew how good they made me feel and, you know, take off and play, and I could sit on my front porch as a little girl and sit there and talk to them and hug on them and love on them and just tell them anything. You know, and years went by, and I got to be a grown-up and traveled the country as a military wife. And, you know, again, we always had a pet in the house, and we had our Sunny, our golden retriever, who passed away just 5 years ago. And she passed away at the age of 15 and a half. But the love that she gave our family, you know, was unconditional. She helped me raise our 5 Elia boys, who you know, Lynn.
I do.
And, you know, my boys just love having the dog in the house. And, always brings comfort, you know, you're not coming home by yourself and someone's there waiting for you to love you and you can talk to and you can sit around the kitchen and cook a meal and they really don't care. You know, throw them a little tidbit or whatever and they wag that tail and they just give you that happy look. I mean, you could give them something they're not too sure about. Hey, how's that taste? Hey, it tastes all right? Okay, thanks for letting me know that. But anyway, Sonny passed away and at that point I was working with you actually in juvenile probation.
Right.
I was working juvenile probation when I first moved here. And then I went to work out in King George at an alternative to suspension school for kids grades 6 through 9. And that's when Sonny passed away, and she was 15 and a half. And I was in a lot of grief. I was in a lot of deep grief. And at that time, you had told me about someone that you knew that had just had a litter of pups, of golden retriever pups. And the funny thing is they were born, I think it was 1 or 2 days after Sonny's passing. And so the story goes that I just brought home one pup. I brought home two. I brought home Grace and Casey. And my goal was to raise them at that time to become therapy dogs. And lo and behold, the grant got cut from King George County Schools. And the person you had referred me to for the golden pups knew somebody that had a beautiful champion kennel. Well, one thing led to another, and like you said, I just followed my heart and followed my passion, and that was to learn more about the dog world and get into training and do all of it. And I learned the ways of kenneling through hard, hard work. Didn't pay me a whole lot, wasn't pay what I got used to, but I learned more through hands-on experience than money could ever give me, and just, again, allowed me to follow my heart and do what I was meant to do in a lot of ways.
Right, and I want to just take 1 second to speak there, because, Carol, you and I talked a lot about that when that was actually happening.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we talked about the value of, you know, the value of the lesson as opposed to the value of money. And it's a hard lesson to go through, isn't it?
It was a very difficult lesson because, again, you know, my family was used to me bringing home a certain amount of, you know, of money into the home. But, you know, my husband's very supportive. Very supportive. You know what? This is what you love to do. You're great at it. You're great with the people. You're great with the dogs. And I was also learning canine massage techniques as well, but I couldn't use that, you know, on the dogs in the kennel. I could use it on my own dogs because of Virginia law. And you can use it on your own dogs and you can learn, but you cannot, you know, do canine massage on other people's dogs unless you're under the supervision of a veterinary, you know, supervision. So I was not able to do that, but I learned the techniques and my dogs love it. But again, like I said, follow your heart, follow your passion, and everything else will fall into place. And granted, yeah, there are some tough lessons you learn. You learn more about sacrifice and you learn what you're made out of in a lot of ways. And you learn to hold on to your faith and you learn to take your passion to make it into something that is actually beneficial and helpful to others. And that's what I said. Going with Grace and Casey and starting with them and, you know, getting them into training and doing all that, getting ready to get out of Canine Good Citizenships and eventually get out of Therapy Dog International certification. And then lo and behold, of course, you know, I got hurt and I had to have major surgery. But prior to getting surgery, a very special black lab found his way into my heart and into my life. And you know how I feel about my Gus. And, long and behold is that I had surgery. I had herniated the disc in my neck. And Casey and Grace could not be with me when I was recovering, but Gussie could. And he laid in bed with me every day, day and night, while I was recouping or in my recliner chair or wherever I could sit, because I didn't need to have a neck brace, but I just needed to just lay still and just heal. And he would sit there with me or lie there with me, and, you know, I'd be sitting there clicking the clicker or whatever, and just lay. I could talk to him and love on him. I could cry. I was mad. I was... You know, I had different feelings going on because it was something I knew I was going to have to give up as far as the kenneling world. That, at that point, I was going to have to give that up because physically my doctor said, no, you just cannot do this right now. And you really shouldn't be because you could re-injure yourself if you keep going the pace that you were going. So we launched into training full speed ahead, and I had Gus, Casey, and Grace now all training to get their Canine Good Citizenships. And so when I say Canine Good Citizenships, that is a certification for the American Kennel Club, and you have to be able to pass through 10 items of testing to earn that. And that's open to any dog. Any person listening, anyone in the community that has a dog can get an AKC Good Citizenship on their dog. And really what it says is that you have control of your dog, and you're willing to take the time to put into training to teach your dog just the basics, such as sit, such as wait, such as down, stay, to be handled by a stranger for 3 minutes without freaking out. Recall, you know, there's 10 different items on it. And people can go to akc.org, American Kennel Club. It's akc.org, and they can just put in the search part, Canine Good Citizenship test, and it will pop up. And we have some really good people around here that do test. I am an evaluator for the AKC as well. But I do know there's a place, Clinical Canine, up in Stafford that is wonderful. Teresa has done a wonderful job up there. And she's very much involved in search and rescue and trying to get me involved in search and rescue. So one thing led to another. And so Gus eventually went on and got his TDI, which is Therapy Dogs International, as did Casey. And you did the 10 tests for CGC all over again, plus other items for TDI, which meant being around wheelchairs, having to leave, food distractions, having to have loud pans or loud items drop on the floor and then not freak out, you know, hearing loud noises. Because those things happen when you're going to the nursing homes or the hospitals or if you're in a group of kids, such as, you know, we are a lot now, since I work with hospice support care and as children's bereavement coordinator, they have to be able to handle that stress. And they do it very well. Grace, I wound up placing with a older couple up on Cape Cod, and they own a bed and breakfast, and she lives 100 yards from Nantucket Sound, and she's their ambassador. And I remember the day, June, it's been now 3 years, just about 3 years that she's been gone to live with Neil and his wife. And I gave her a kiss on her forehead. I looked in her eyes, and I just told her, go do your job. And she turned around, walked with Neil towards the beach, and she never looked back. I cried all the way back to Falmouth, that's where my mom lives, on Cape Cod. And but she has a great life, you know, and that's it. You know, I took her spirit and what she could represent, what the joy she could bring others. I did my job. I mean, I did my job, and I did it well. I prepared her to put her where she needed to be. So Gus and Casey and I continued on, and we did a lot of work with Hartfields, assisted living, walking with the Alzheimer's units, and we did that. And we still do that. And that's real special because, to me, both my grandmothers died of Alzheimer's complications. And when I saw the joy, and that's another reason why I got involved in therapy dog work, was because I saw the joy that these animals brought to people when I would visit my own grandmothers. And another reason why we got involved with therapy work was because a little boy that we knew, we lived on Cape Cod, his name was Ryan Anderson. He died of leukemia complications. And so these lights that have been in my life, these people that I have loved so much that have died, I just saw the joy that animals brought to them and the way they brought joy to me. So, again, following my passion, following my light. So one thing, so that's my journey. Last year, an opening came about with Hospice Support Care Incorporated. It's in Fredericksburg, 1701 Fall Hill Avenue. And I was hired on as the new Children and Teen Bereavement Program Coordinator. And right, I was interviewing for the position with Judy Murphy and Sharon Simpson. And Sharon is the adult coordinator of bereavement services, and Judy is the executive director. Is one thing I brought out was the fact is I do have therapy dogs. I do train. I do raise. Like I said, I have a litter coming at the end of June, a beautiful litter of chocolate labs I'm expecting. And people can visit my website, and I'll give that information before we close out. Is that they knew I had dogs. So one thing led to another, and I was hired on. And just this past weekend, Casey and Gus went with me up to Camp Rainbow, to the bereavement camp that we have every year for children. And I was asked to come up on the Saturday to bring the dogs, and we did some, you know, some group exercises with the kids with the dogs being there. And the kids just opened up and just talked and just loved on the dogs and shared stories about their moms and their dads, their grandmas, their grandpas, siblings, their cousins, all people who've died. But being able to hug on Gus's, I mean, if, now you know Gus. Describe Gus, Lynn. How would you describe Gus?
Oh, I just think he's a big old black bundle of joy.
He is. He's a great big old black. I mean, he's 95 solid pounds. He's got a big old black, blocky English head. And Casey, you know, being the golden retriever that she is gentle, very, she's very ladylike, and she'll even lay with her legs crossed, you know, in front of her, like, so daintily. But the kids just could go up to either dog and just love them and kiss them and just to say thank you to the dogs for being there as they share their stories or share the pictures that they drew for their loved ones about their camp experience and what they've been sharing, the memories. And, you know, I deal with children that have had suicides in their family. I deal with children with sudden death, you know, car accidents, those type of things, heart attacks, children whose family members have had cancer, so they've watched the loved one, you know, die. I mean, they've gone through the process as a family. So, you know, all kids are at different levels. And I really think Spirit has brought me back around to this point in my life where, you know, I don't walk in these kids' shoes, but I totally have the empathy and the compassion because I've been there. I get it. You know, my dad had a sudden death in a car accident at the age of 21 and left my mom alone with me and my sister. And then my grandfather, who I just adored, died of emphysema when I was 11. So I watched that whole process, and I watched him slip away from us. And again, I said, like, as I got to be an adult, I had some other significant losses. I don't want to say loss. Death is death. But the spirit still remains, and the lessons that those spirits teach us are wonderful. And they always tell us to reach back. So I know the spirits that have touched my life and got me to where I am now, I know they're happy with what I'm doing. And, you know, I feel that. Do you want to jump in? I am rattling off.
I can only just, I just feel the love. And I'm thinking about, you know, Gus and especially Grace walking off. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm picturing my child walking off when you're talking about this. And I can only, you know, embrace and feel, you know, my heart tug and realize that the love you pour into these, you know, these dogs and that's all they know is love. So that's
all.
That's all they can give. So what's your interviewing? I mean, I can't just see you hand them over to people. So do you spend a lot of time with the people that you hand them over to?
When my puppies are born?
Yeah.
I have a litter due June 26th, and Simon, who is a sire, I repeated the breed. I had a litter last year, and I actually have two of the pups. I kept Sarah and Danucci with us, and Danucci's, the theme of the litter was Irish chocolate. So Danucci, it may sound kind of funny, but it's actually an Irish chocolate maker over in Ireland, and I've ordered their chocolates, and let me tell you something. They are amazing. I've actually given them out as gifts because they think it's funny because Danucci, my dog, is named after an Irish chocolate maker, and they're wonderful chocolates, and Sarah is just so sweet. I go through it, trust me, when I place one of my pups or if I'm doing fostering work, I have a very intense interviewing is what I do. I check references. I stay in contact with the people that have my dogs, and if for some reason they can never keep the dog with them, the dog comes back to me. You know, my dogs, I mean, and all my puppies are microchipped. And I stay on that microchip. And the people are aware of that. I stay on the ownership of that microchip because if, God forbid, they get picked up or they do surrender the dog without telling me, when the microchips are scanned, I come up as a second owner on that microchip, and they will contact me. But I'm very, very selective. I think Lynn can speak to how selective I can be. And, again, Lynn, you know, I learned that from Terry. You know, I learned some very strict and very good dog savvy from the person I ran the kennel for. I learned a lot from her. Again, you can't place monetary value on that.
No, you can't. For you, Carol, Carol's very modest, and I'll make sure you have my information later. Carol's website is www.ashlinglab.
Ashling.
That's what I needed you to do was pronounce it. Pronounce
Ashling.
It
Ash. A I S. L-I-N-G-E, labradors.com. And I'll tell you, do you think I have an idea what Ashling might mean?
I know I read it. I was actually just searching your website because I read it somewhere.
Okay, JR, do you have Ashling might mean? Ashling, I waited a long time to do what I'm doing. I've raised five boys of my own. I have five sons of my own and another boy that we brought into our family circle. Ashley, I got him from when I was working probation, and once he was cleared, he's my son. For all rights, he's my son. I didn't give birth to him. He's been with our family now since 2002 and has lived in my home for the last 5 years, and I just love him. He's my son. I tell him he is my son. Ashling means a dream and a vision, and I waited a long time to do what I'm doing to be able to, you know, raise, have my breed. Labs are my breed. I do love them. But to do it right, you know, it's not something you just pick up and you just do. You research your breed, you learn about your breed, you learn about your lines, you just educate yourself as much as possible. And it's ongoing. I mean, you know, I'm sitting here in my office and looking at my bookshelf in my car. I mean, it's just educate and read and just ask questions of those who've been around a lot longer than I have. It's an amazing process. And I do it with a lot of love. I'm sitting here right now as I'm talking to you guys. I got Kama, who's the mama to be, sitting here next to me, and she's just sitting here, you know, getting love done as I'm talking with you guys. She's got another 3 weeks to go, but it's been a great time. It's been some days I'm like, oh my goodness, what am I doing? Because you get involved, you know, can I help this person? You know, you have to ask, how best can I help this person that may have this issue that we're dealing with right now? And if I don't have the answer, I will be more than happy to give the, information. This person may be able to help you and give them the right information, somebody who can help them, the right resource, I guess I'm trying to say, and do that. But I found with my work with hospice support care, very rewarding, coordinating the kids' programs. We have some great fall programming coming up. We do have a day camp this July 14th, the children that did not get to go to Camp Rainbow that are part of our programming or ones I'm doing intakes with right now that have the opportunity to go to our day camp. And we have a local camp right here in the community that is sponsoring, but they prefer not to be recognized, which I thought was kind of, you know, odd, but again, they said, Carol, you know, we just want to do this because we believe in what you're doing with these kids, and, you know, we just honored, you know, that you asked us. I'm like, I was really taken aback by it. I'm like, wow, thanks so much. But they said, we really don't want any recognition for that. So we just come on in and use our facilities and have a great time with the kids. And we will. We're going to have a tie-dye day. We'll have swimming. We're going to have miniature golf. We're going to have a great day with these kids and do some bereavement work, too, to help them keep continuing the processing work, because grief, and the healing, it never stops. You know, there's going to be times in these kids' lives that it could be a high school graduation. It could be a sweet 16 birthday. It could be the birth of their first child. It could be when they're getting married. It could just be going on a fishing trip even now, something over the summertime, 4th of July fireworks. You know, they all have these memories of the person that that's died that they've loved so much, and they'll call me. They all have my confidential voicemail, and they can call me at any time and say, you know, I'm having a rough time, and we'll talk about it. We'll talk it through. It's, you know, it's a continual processing that when you love someone that, you know, when someone you loved has died, the grief doesn't stop. You know, but we try to get them to focus on the memories, the good times, what they've learned, what this person, you know, brought to their lives. And, you know, the kids do really well with that. They're very resilient, I guess the word I want to use is resilient. I don't know if it sounds cliche, but they are. And they love to talk. They're given the chance to talk about their loved one. It makes all the difference in the world. We didn't have that growing up. It was like, you know, I grew up very Irish, Italian, Catholic, okay, need I say more? you know, the person died, you mourned, and you moved on. You didn't really talk a whole lot about the people that died back then. I'm talking about in the 60s and 70s. You really didn't talk about it a whole lot. Now kids today have the opportunity to really talk about their feelings and express their feelings about the person that has died. So for that, I'm very happy that we do this with the kids. And we are the only agency in the entire planning district of that provide these services for children. And we are United Way agency, volunteer-based, and there are no fees for our services.
Right.
And that, I mean, people hear about it, it's like, we didn't even know you existed. I'm like, well, we are here. So my job really the last couple of months has been really pounding the pavement and being out in the community and getting information out there so children can be helped and get the support that we can give them. And the volunteers I have working with me are awesome ladies. I mean, they're awesome, awesome ladies. And I'm very proud to have them with me.
So Carol, just to, because you.
So mentioned, I'm just rattling, guys. I'm just rattling here. I'm just going on here. So.
Go ahead, JR, and ask your question, and then I have a question for Carol too.
Okay.
Well, you mentioned that you know, some people don't even know that you exist. So say I'm
right.
Listening to this call, or a lot of our readers,
right.
And if anyone's listening now, remember that you can always go to the archives to load this up. And if you haven't logged in the blog, go ahead and do that. Now, if what you had mentioned, some people can't find you, what is the process? And now everyone's heard you at your website, so they can always go there. But what's the process to actually, you know, say I'm a grieving spouse. I lost my spouse. And
right.
I'm dealing with my emotions, let alone trying to be able to help my child. So
right.
So what would I be able to expect if
I'm on call? Well, a lot of people, what happens is this, is we get a lot of calls from school social workers. And the hospital sometimes will pass on information. But it's Hospice Support Care Incorporated, and it's on 1701 Far Hill Avenue, Suite 109. The phone number is 540-361-7071. And our office staff is fantastic. You'll call in. You may speak with Karen. Karen is our office manager, and Linda is our events coordinator. Kelly White is our volunteer coordinator. Jan Harrison is our family care coordinator. Sharon Simpson is our adult bereavement coordinator. And I do the children and teens. And, of course, Judy Murphy is our executive director. And we have many volunteers that work the office with us that help me keep straight, because I have, you know, I'm making copies and doing all that kind of stuff. What typically happens, JR, is that someone will call in the office, you know, for the children and teen program. I'll get the message if I'm not in the office or they don't have my direct line to my cell, is I will call and schedule an appointment, an intake appointment with them. Once I get the information, I mail them an intake packet, which is information I need back. I like to have more information about, you know, about the death, about what's going on with the child. Is the child regressing in any way? Is the child shutting down? Is the child eating normally? Is the child going to school? You know, just asking the parent to, you know, check off, you know, certain behaviors that are going on with the child. And then we have the intake appointment, which happens at, I don't do them in our office. I do what's called at our Harbor House, which is on Washington Avenue. It parallels the James Monroe High School. It's the last. It's the first little bungalow house on the left-hand side at the end of the MediCorp parking lot, and we have a beautiful bungalow home that has our bereavement and training center. And Harbor House is just a beautiful refuge. We have a nice yard in the backyard. We have two rooms upstairs. We have a beautiful art room. The kids do a lot of artistic expression, going off the unit that we're talking about. And we have our little circle room. We come and do our check-in. We do our work there, and then we move into the art room. But Harbor House is a beautiful refuge, and the adult groups meet there. We do have, Sharon does have an adult bereavement group that meets on Wednesdays. I believe right now, but it is a closed group right now, so there are six people in that group right now that are working on bereavement issues with Sharon. And we do our board meetings there. It's just a really quiet place. It's got a great big angel in the great big picture window in the front of the house. It's very peaceful. It's actually a very peaceful home. It feels very cozy and very warm and very welcoming. And so I do all my intake interviews there with the kids. We play Legos. A lot of things I ask the kids, actually, when I'm doing an intake interview with them, I ask them, what is your favorite dessert? Have them draw out, what is your favorite dessert? Because that really tells me a lot about a kid. And I ask them, how does that dessert describe you? And I'll never forget, I had one little boy who was 8, and his grandpa died last year. And he drew a brownie with coffee, ice cream, and hot fudge sauce. And I said, so-and-so. I said, how does that describe you? He goes, because I'm intense. He goes, I'm rich and I'm intense. And he is. I mean, he was so funny. Anyway, he was very serious. Of course, that was an awesome description. But he is an intense individual. I mean, he's a big brother, but he is an intense individual. And that helps me learn, okay, how do I work with this kid in group and how do I work with this kid? I'm working with this child one-on-one. Now, please remember, I am not an LPC. I'm not a licensed professional counselor. I am not a social worker. My background, I have a master's in human relations from the University of Oklahoma. And what my degree does, it does a lot with programming. And helping people identify obstacles that they need to get over and help with. It's a perfect fit for me as far as doing bereavement program coordination. So it's a really good fit for me. So the kids are really great. I mean, and the adults, I try to make everyone feel at ease when they come in, and we just talk. And like I said, I don't work in a typical office environment. I work in a very nice, homey environment, and the kids feel real comfortable. They play Legos and draw pictures and just talk. And if they want to come, they can come. And if they don't want to come, we can't make them come because they're not ready. And it's not a type of, it's peer support. The kids and kids helping kids go from 5 until 12, and then we have a teens helping teens group for 13 to 18. And right now I have a group of 6 teenage girls. And then I have the other kids and kids helping kids, the younger ones. And I have 25 kids this semester. I have 25 kids.
Wow.
And it's amazing because as people are learning about the programs and the services, and there is no charge for them. The kids really help each other. When they come to group, we meet up and we talk. The volunteers are there. And we just help them talk out their feelings and what's going on with them. And it's an amazing process, and they really do help each other. So the peer support group model really does work. It really does. And the same thing with the teen girls. Cattiness is not allowed. Lynn, now you know how teen girls can be.
And you know
that I don't do drama. I just cannot do drama. I mean, that kind of drama. And so they tell them, check it at the door. You're here to do other things. Check that at the door and come on in. And they do. They do a really nice job, and they do help each other. My girls especially are so different. Oh, my God, they're so different. But they do very well together, which is what we want.
Right.
So.
Carol put together an incredible book called Gussie's Club. It's the true story of a therapy dog that helps children and families that are grieving the death of a loved one. It's a really beautifully done book, very well illustrated.
Thanks, Lynn.
And you're welcome. And in here, there's a page I just want to read to you. It's called In Their Own Words and How Gussie Helps the Children and Teens in the Hospice Support Care, grief peer support groups who are grieving the death of a loved one. And it's just a list of a couple of sayings. It says, Gussie listens. Gussie is calm around me. Gussie likes me. Gussie lets me pet him. Gussie takes care of us. Gussie is kind and never hurts people. Gussie comes over and lays down and lets you pet him. I love him. Gussie gives me kisses. Gussie likes everyone and cheers me up. Gussie has helped me in group. Gussie makes me feel safe to share my story. Gussie is joyful and makes me happy, never sad. Gussie makes me laugh. Gussie listens when I read to him. You know, that, to me, just those simple words from these kids says a lot about how the dog can help bring out those emotions that, you know, might otherwise get locked up inside. So I have a twofold question. One is really more of a comment. It seems to me like maybe you were talking about memories and how, you know, memories go on. And my father has been dead for 20 years. So he died when I was a young adult. You know, so, and I still, you know, I mean, my son's getting ready to graduate. And, you know, one of the mm-hmm. things is it'd be really nice if my dad could see that. My dad never met my son. You know, I got pregnant a couple years after my dad died. So, you know, he never met any of my children. So I do still, as an adult, I still have these memories. But one of the things with kids is I'm thinking, you know, if we've got a memory that comes in and then we have a memory that helps, do you think that that playing with the dog through their initial grieving process might help when they're in those memories, that it kind of helps give them the boost to go on because they might think of their lost loved one, and then that might be coupled with, you know, an experience they had with Gus. So that's one fold question.
Mm-hmm.
And then my other one is, you gave information about Fredericksburg, and I'm sure that anybody could contact the Fredericksburg office and learn about hospice support in their own area. But for other people who may be training dogs or may have therapy dogs and they weren't aware that they might be able to get involved with, you know, some community organizations, do you have any advice for them?
Oh, yeah. All right. On the first question, talking with the memories, is like you, you know, my dad hasn't been here to see me and my boys, you know. I believe with all my heart he's watched us. I'm like, oh, my God, he's probably going to have some good laughs on me. But, you know, the thing is, he hasn't been here. I haven't been able to see my kids, you know, hand my child to him and say, hey, Dad, look. You know, look at this. And, you know, my boys have strong D'Olimpio genes. I mean, that's my main name is D'Olimpio. They have some strong D'Olimpio genes, and they run deep. So I'm sure wherever, you know, his spirit is, you know, I'm sure he's looking down with pride. But, again, you don't have that opportunity to hand over that child, say, hey, you know what I mean, Lynn?
Right.
So, you know, the kids are processing, having Gus or Casey there. And like I said, if you look in the back of that small book, and that book actually, this is going to be my own book. This was actually a grant given through, I'll back up in just a second, though. Youth and Philanthropy, the Community Foundation of Rappahannock, gave Hospice Support Care a grant for me to write a children's book. And this was a draft. I had to go back and make some corrections and make it more I've been asked to make some changes in it, and I'm doing that. So this here is a little bit different. This is actually, you know, a good thing for people they want to learn more about hospice, you know, see pictures of the kids and learn, actually, like you said, how to get involved in therapy dog work. This is a good book for that. But I had to make corrections to make it more of a child's book. So that's in the process. But getting back to what you just said, when the kids are there processing those memories, you know, be able to hug on him, that big lug head that, you know, that you can see the picture of Gus, that big black head of his, and that neck, or rub his ears, or Casey, who's so soft, you know, they're so different. You know, you have Gus, who's big and strong and powerful, and you have Casey, who's very ladylike and, you know, very soft. The kids gravitate to what is what they need. Do they need that strong figure? Do they need someone that's a little bit more gentle? And I will ask parents, which dog would you prefer to have at an intake session? Because I do offer them up. You know, would you like a dog, therapy dog present for the intake? Would you think that would help your child? And parents have said, yes, I would love that. And I have parents say, no, she's a little timid of dogs. And when the kids do come to group, you know, again, I feel for, you know, I always check with allergies, that kind of stuff. But the kids that have been afraid of them or have not fear of dogs, the dogs actually win the kids over. And they see how gentle they are, and they come up and they do talk with them, and they do process with them. So is that what you're asking me?
That they kind of, you know, like if a child is sitting there and they're sad, they're having, let's mm-hmm. say it's their father's birthday,
mm-hmm.
You know, and they're sitting there thinking of their dad, and then they get to remember, like they're in a grieving moment, and they've come to your group.
Mm-hmm.
It seems likely to me that in their grieving moment, they will go to the tools that they learn to deal with that grief, And it would then bring in the memory of Gus or another therapy dog, and it might help put a smile on their face a little bit quicker than if they didn't have that tool of the
therapy. And let me give you a pure example of that. We were in group earlier this semester, and it's amazing Gus's intuition. He amazes me. There's a child that was having a rough time, and you know, unbeknownst to me, I mean, we got in there, and I knew someone. This kid was a little quiet. Gus went in. He goes in the room with the kids, and he does every time. And I said, tell him to do it. He just goes in, he'll circle, and he'll lay down next to the child. He can pick him out. I don't have to do anything. He picks him out. He knew exactly who to go to. And he laid down next to the child, and the child just said, I was having a really rough day today, Miss Carol, and I'm so glad Gussie's here. And we talked about it. But he knows. He went right to the child that was having the roughest day. And you know, she shared what was going on, and she was having a really tough day, remembering something. But then she started fuzzing his ears and just talking to him. And this is the thing: is they can say, you know what, I was having a rough time, but you know, Gussie was right there for me, and I was able to talk about it, and I was able to share what I was feeling, and he made me feel better. Yeah. And they get through it. They can get through it that way. Now, your second question about as far as people want to get involved. And this comes up in this little small book as well, is that, you know, one thing I put out there through Therapy Dogs International is, and that's what it is, Therapy Dogs International. They're based in Flanders, New Jersey. You can contact them or go to the TDI or just Google them online, and you'll come up with their website. And you can actually search for organizations in your community that, you know, if you have a therapy dog, if you're already trained, you know, you got a CGC, you say, you know, I want to do therapy dog work now. You can go to their website and you can find out when they're going to be testing, who are evaluators in the area, what organizations are looking for therapy dogs. Because I would like to have more therapy dogs work with us in our community. I mean, you know, I have my own team, but you know, one of my dogs may not be having a good day. He may not be feeling well. As a handler, you have to be aware of your dog's mood. You have to be aware of their health. There's so many things. Like today, it's going to be 90-something degrees outside. My guys aren't going anywhere. They're not working in the heat. It's just too much. You know, an example from the other day, going to Camp Rainbow. You know, we drove up to Winchester. You know, that's an over 2-hour drive on Saturday. We left early Saturday morning. We got there. I aired them out. I mean, I say air them out. You know, turn them loose on their long lines and let them go potty, let them get, you know, a sense of where they are. They could see the kids and whatnot. So I said to Gus that morning, I said, you want to go to work? And he knows what go to work means. You know, he gets his vest on, he gets in the car, and off we go. And same thing with Case. But you have to get him into the area and get him, you know, comfortable as a handler, get them ready to work. And then the kids all came to the picnic tables. You know, I had them in the car. And the kids saw me. They knew why I was there. They're like, Miss Carol's here with Gus and Casey. They were so excited. And so I get the kids settled, and we talk a little bit. I say, okay, and I had the back window open because it was a beautiful day up there. And I just call the dogs one by one. They each pop their heads up, and, you know, the kids just love seeing it. It's like having cartoon characters pop their heads up in a car. It was so funny. And I pull them out. I let them work their group for a little bit, and then I put them back up to rest before the next group gets there. But as a handler, you have to be aware of your dog's stress levels and all of that. And yeah, but people can go to Therapy Dogs International, or even they can actually go to Delta Society. Delta Society is another organization, a very good organization, that has therapy animals, and they do birds, they do cats, they do all kinds of animals, where Therapy Dogs International is just dogs. But Delta Society is a great organization, and you can go through training with them if you have, like, a cat, a bird. You know, all kinds of animals can go through Delta. So that's how people can get involved with their community. And I'm looking for new people, too, because you know, my dogs may be having an off day, and I have a volunteer that says, hey, I want to do like the first Thursday of the month with the Kids Helping Kids group. I'm like, great, come on in. You know, but they have to go through our volunteer training, and that's where Kelly comes into play. They have to do the volunteer training with Kelly and get all certified through hospice to do the work with volunteer work. So
great.
There's a lot to it, Lynn.
And I do want to say that most of this information, I know I've seen a lot of the stuff Carol's talking about, like the links to other sites and stuff on Carol's website. And it's Aisling Labs, and it's AISLINGELABRADORS.com, AislingLabradors.com. So
yep.
You can link to, if you go to Carol's site and you take a look around it, there's some links to some of the places that she's talking about. There's a way to get in touch with Carol if you need to get a copy of the Gussie's Club book. If you have any other questions for her, you know, about things in your area. And there's some great pictures of her dogs. I mean, so you really get to see who we're talking about when you look at these. And, you know, I love the picture on the front of the book of Gus because, you know, he's just looking like, hey, this is my job. And you just
you like his blue vest there?
I love it. He's just so...
Now look inside that book and you'll see a picture of him with my friend Kelsey with her little dog, Ashton, who's a Maltese.
Yes.
Do you see that picture?
Yes.
Now you have Gus, who's great big, and that point. This is just a couple years ago. That picture of Gus sitting laying there next to Kelsey, who's Ashton, and Ashton is actually Gus's best friend. You remember, Ashton's only 6 pounds, a little white Maltese, and you have pictures of I have pictures of Gus and Ashton sitting outside Hartfield's nursing facility together, assisted living facility together, and it's the funniest thing. People would walk by and they saw the two of them on a sit stay command, and they saw this big black dog with a little white, and they're like, isn't he going to jump him? I'm like, no, he's not going to jump him. I'm like, that's his buddy. That's his working companion. And we would take them out for a treat afterwards. And, you know, Sunday afternoons, we had the best time. So it was a good time with them.
There are no great pictures in here.
You like the picture of Casey?
I do. I saw the picture.
Did you see Murphy's picture?
I did.
Oh, you're cutting out on me, Linnell. Are you there?
I am. I'm having some. Is that better? No, I'm having some problems with my phone. Hold on.
Hold on a second.
How does that
work? Is that better? There you go. That's better.
Okay. Yeah, we were. That was some feedback there. So, JR, do you have any comments?
I can hear you, kid, now. I'm just, you know, it's just exciting to hear, you know, you really being in your passion. I mean, because just the growth and the expansion within your organization and everything you're doing just shows how, I mean, you're serving your purpose. I mean, you're right in the middle of it, and light's just shining all over it and throughout your whole, you know, organization, and you can see that and sense that and only see that, you know, the truth in that.
Right.
Now, JR, real quick, because you asked me a question a few months ago about how people get in touch with us at hospice. Let me get the hospice support care link.
Oh, good. Okay.
And that way people can go right to it. I mean, the website is still up, but it is being updated, but the address will not change. It's hospicesupportcare.org. And it's right in Fredericksburg. And like I said, we are the only ones. We are a non-medical hospice. We are a volunteer-based organization. Like I said, our volunteers help the people who are living with family members that are dying. We have people that will go in, I guess, you know, help with reading or maybe some cooking or just some visiting with family members. And we have, you know, adult bereavement. And we have, like, my kids groups. And people volunteer for all kinds of things. They volunteer for to work in our office. They work on – we have a magnolia ball every year. Oh, my goodness, I went to my first magnolia ball this year. It was so much fun. I got all dressed up. Linnell, I got to show you this picture of Paul and I. I got all dressed in my beautiful black dress. I went to a magnolia ball, and it's one of our biggest fundraisers for the year. And then we have a golf tournament in the fall that Linda supervised. Linda Vaughn is our events coordinator. She does all that stuff for the golf tournament and for the magnolia ball. She puts a lot of hard work into that. So we have two great big fundraisers we do every year. And I like to do more stuff for the kids, but, you know, once I get that approval, I do things little by little. But, you know me, Lynn.
Well, you know, Carol, I'm thinking.
Carol doesn't have a bit of fun, you can tell. We've actually got a caller. Let's take this caller and see what they have to say. So I just turned on the number ending in 5306. Welcome to the show. And do you have a question or a comment?
Actually, I have a comment. I'm a good friend to Carol's. And I got to tell you right now, she is just amazing, okay? She never slows down. She has time for everybody. And I'm going to tell you right now, those dogs have been a great comfort to me, Gus and Casey and all the puppies. I actually have one of Carol's puppies.
Oh, wonderful.
Oh, yeah, Tegan, she's full of it, trust me. But I wanted to say, though, that it takes a special person like Carol. It really does. This woman just gives. And these children are so blessed to have her. And what I wanted to say was, is anybody, you know, with these therapy dogs, I wish I had it in me. To hear Carol talk about the kids, she just lights up. And I just wanted to get in on this and let her know how much everybody appreciates and loves her.
Well,
you're so silly, Dee. I knew who that was.
You know my voice, woman. I talk to you every day. But I just want people to know that, you know, what they're hearing on the radio is not a put-on. That is actually Carol.
Oh, wonderful. Wow. Well, thank you so very
much. Is it me being me, Dee? Is it just me being me?
Yeah, no, your drama comment a few minutes ago, I went, oh, God, I hear that all the time. But that's the way life should be, you know. I mean, life is full of drama. These kids have had enough drama in their life. They need what Gus is able to give them and what Carol's able to give them. And I have a special needs son, and you can ask Carol how much my son just fell in love with Gus. So, you know, it's therapy to me, too, as a friend to know that she's there. So, you know, I hope she gets more people involved. I wish I could get Rebel into it, but he's my favorite pain in the butt, you know. But needless to say, that's all I wanted to say. Let her know how much we all love and appreciate her.
Well, silly woman. Thank you.
Thank you for calling in.
And you will have Rebel and you will have Tegan in the team as well. You will get them certified, trust me.
Right. So, well, thank you, Dee, for calling in. I greatly appreciate that. And, you know, that really brings us back to some of the comments I was writing down that I wanted to point out is that, you know, Carol, you took a situation that, you know, that seemed to start off and actually did start off as a tragedy for you, and it opened the door to your passion, you know, which most people don't realize that window of opportunity is there. And, you know, you did a fantastic job of modeling that. And, you know, I bet you never thought that you could bring two of your passions, children and dogs, together in something that you enjoy so much.
No, I didn't. No, I really didn't, Lynn. I mean, I love to train. I love to teach people how to get the, you know, how to work with their own pet. I mean, you know, and I do that as a profession as well because I am certified, you know, get a CGC evaluator now. And I do love to train. I specialize just in puppies and in house care, you know, manners. That I don't do anything special as far as competition stuff goes. I really want to see that people connect with that energy and connect with that special bond that they could have if they know how to begin, you know. And that's when I had to place Grace, you know. I got the call from Massachusetts, you know, a friend of mine from Massachusetts, hey, I got an older couple, you know, would you consider placing Grace? I said, well, I had to think long and hard about it, but, you know, I knew I put it out there, and it came back, you know what, let her go, and you've done what you're supposed to do with her, and let her go, and I did. I let her go, and I let her go, you know, I was very happy with how she was prepared, because she had that instinct about her, so she was all set to go. But I want to help people keep their dogs in their forever homes. If you bring that being into your home, there's a reason. I mean, let's work together so that being can stay with you. And if you can't stay with you, well, let's look at how I can help you as far as get it to where it needs to be. You know what I mean? I mean, I've done some fostering and done a lot of that and gotten pets to where they need to be, and they've been very, very happy. And the people that have placed them with me, you know, I have a client. Oh, my goodness, I have a client, a dog I took care of for 3 years. And the young lady was very ill and wasn't able to hold on to her dog. And the funny thing is, that dog now lives next door to me. I mean, Emma lives next door to me. I get to see her every day. And I had 3 days to place her. I got the call and said, you know, Carol, we can't keep her. And can you help us so we don't have to turn her over to the shelter? And I went to my neighbors. I have two little boys, and I knew they wanted a dog, but they didn't want to do all the puppy training. I said, I have a dog for you. And sure enough, I can see Emma every single morning. She comes out, and I'm gonna tell you, she loves being part of that family. And again, it's a spirit. It's a being. It's not just a dog. It's a spirit, and they give us so much. If we really tap into it, they give us so much. But like you said, Lynn, I never expected that. What happened to me as a young child, you know, never getting to know my own dad, really getting to know him. I've learned about him and things about him, but not getting to really know him. That was a tragedy for me. And, you know, I had my grandfather who kind of stepped in. I had other people that could step in and, you know, be that man figure I needed in my life growing up. But, you know, you can never take that place. You know, no one can ever take that place of your dad. And, but my grandfather's name is funny about Danucci, my chocolate boy Danucci, is that I want to honor my grandfather because my grandfather was the one who got me my first dog. And his name was Dan, big Irishman Dan Callahan, big Irishman in Plymouth. And I was looking through Irish chocolates. I said, okay, when we think of Irish chocolates, well, then I found Danucci, and it's Danucci. And I said, you know, that's one way to honor my grandfather. And the funny thing, Lynn, is that first litter of puppies, they were conceived on the anniversary of my grandfather's passing to heaven day. February 23rd. And then that was the first breeding. The second breeding was on February 25th, which is my second son, Joseph, was on Joseph's birthday. It was all family related. It was so weird. It was very, very weird. I was like, this is really weird. That I think the me and my grandfather who gave my first puppy, that I would have my first chocolate litter that was bred on his passing the heaven date. I thought that was really kind of weird. It only meant to be that way, I guess.
I think it's beautiful, the synchronicity that just confirmed that, you know, this is the way to go. So I do have a question for you. Now, you were talking about the Good Citizenship Award for dogs.
Canine Good Citizenship, yeah.
Right. Now, can a mutt do that? I mean, like...
Absolutely. Oh, my God, absolutely. I mean, Lynn, you know how many dogs I have. And, you know, anyone can get a CGC. Oh, my goodness, an APDT... Association for Pet Dog Trainers, APDT.com, and actually they have Rally for dogs of mixed breeds. They don't do through AKC, but Rally is a wonderful, wonderful thing. It's obedience with obstacle course is what it is, and it is so much fun. And they do that for dogs of mixed breeds as well. But any dog can get a CGC, any dog. I mean, people can call me, email me. I'll be more than happy to talk with them about any dog can get a CGC. If you're willing to put the time into it and devotion into it and the love into it, it can happen. It is not a difficult test. People can just go to akc.org, you know, type in a little search there, can I go citizenship, and the test will pop right up in front of you. Like I said, it's a sit, it's a down, it's a wait, it's a stay, it's staying with somebody for 3 minutes and not freaking out, it's a recall. You know, and being a good grooming is another important part of the test as well. Being able to not jump up on somebody, be able to walk by another dog without, you know, lunging out. Basically, it's showing that you have control of your pet. You can control your pet and ask your pet to do something, and it will do it. Okay. And it's not looking for perfection on healing. It's nothing like that. Basically, you can walk your dog, and it'll have your dog drag you down the street.
Right.
You know,
right.
So just, you know, the cartoon, here's the person, here's the leash, there was a dog way out in front of 100 yards.
Right.
It's just so, basically
you
have control.
I was just thinking, the thought of I'm thinking of hospice and stuff and long-term illnesses and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Have you worked with, or say I'm an individual and I have a child that's a long-term illness of cancer and they can't go out like all the other kids. Would I go through an organization like you for something like that, or
what we have is what we do have. I'm sorry, and especially if my executive director is listening to me, is we do have what's called Kids Care. Kids Care is a support group for children that have a family member that has a terminal illness. Okay, so Kids Care is kids who come to hospice support care that have had a family member that is going through a long-term illness. Okay, as for adults. I'm sure there are support groups in the community for adults that are experiencing that. Hospice care, I know there's an office over at Mary Washington Hospital that people can contact over there to get support. But as far as a kid, like say you had a child, you know, say you were very ill, and I've had the situation happen.
Well, you may not have I'm really referring to the sick child.
What if
say I wanted the child to have, you know, more love than during the time that I'm not there, and wanted them to have a proper, maybe a short-term pet friend.
Well, absolutely. I would be more than happy to do it. I would just have to make sure I would have to make sure though medically that it would be cleared. Medically, the child's doctor said, you know what, yes, this person can come in and this dog can come in. As long as it didn't pronounce any health issues for the child, I'd be there in a heartbeat. I'd be there.
Wow. Okay, so great.
And I'm sure there are other areas and organizations that would do that, too, that, you know, because Carol's here in the Fredericksburg, Virginia area. So we've got listeners from all over the world because this is, an Internet show, and we're very grateful for that. So it would be a matter of, you know, helping to find something in their area. And, you know, Carol's already a wonderful resource. And, again, her website is www.aislingelabrados.com, Aisling Labradors. Her email address is nvng1, that's Nancy Victor Nancy Gale 1, at AOL.com. So
Lynn, that's not what it stands for. That's not what it stands for.
No, no, it doesn't. It stands for nothing ventured, nothing gained. I was just giving them the correct, you know, to help them with the NVNG.
Yeah, I know.
So that is, and that's Carol's motto, nothing ventured, nothing gained. So if you needed to or wanted to email Carol, you know, like if you had a question or needed some help, like I'm in a such and such area, can you help me? I'm sure Carol would be more than happy to help point you
absolutely
in the right direction. And I just want to really point out here that, you know, there's this fantastic service here in the Fredericksburg area because one woman followed her heart and let her heart lead her as opposed to let societal pressure, monetary pressure, you know, people's expectations. And, you know, she birthed an incredible service by following her heart. And there's a lot of joy in her. You can hear it in her voice. You can hear her passion. So if you guys, anybody's out there sitting on the fence or having that kind of tug and call, you know, here's an excellent example of a woman who went through it, you know, that just follow your heart. It's always the right thing to do.
It is. It's not. It's taking that step of faith, you know. It's called stepping out of your circle. Like I said, Lynn, stepping out away from what society tells you. I mean, it is. It's hard. It is not an easy place to be. And once you make that decision, everything else kind of falls into place. It may not be as fast as you want to happen. I mean, I have a lot of dreams still, you know, in me that relate to all of this. And, you know, I know they'll come to fruition. You know, I'll get it little by little. It will come little by little. And that's hard for my personality. And, Lynn, you know my personality. That's hard. That's hard. That's hard for me, is to sit back and be patient and wait and do the legwork. And, you know, I like it. And that's one thing we've been taught, though, is you want it now. Well, you know, some things you have to wait for and some things you have to reflect on. And, okay, is this what you really want? Are you doing this for the right reasons? Are you doing this for alternative motives? And I'm not. And this is just something I love. I mean, I love taking these dogs out in the community. I love sharing them with people. I love sharing stories about them. I'll talk about them all day if you let me, but I know not everyone wants to hear that. So that's okay. That's, I mean, you know, Lynn, I've raised six boys, you know, and this is, and the boys are like, oh my God, Mom. I'm like, look, I've raised you boys. I'm doing my thing. Would you rather I be home sitting around twiddling my thumbs? Take your pick.
Right.
You know, I'm out there in the community. I'm going to dog shows. You know, I compete in rally obedience, which I love rallying. Terry Patton, you know, I have to give a big shout out to Terry Patton. She has a Fairfax James, Diamond Jim, who was a Westminster winner. And Terry has been a godsend to me as far as my training. I've had to change a lot of things I learned that were not correct, and Terry has been amazing. So I sent James does therapy work. She does therapy dog. She does up there at her place, Felicity, English Springer Spaniels. Anyone from the Fairfax area of Virginia, she's up there, and she's worth every moment of your time. You will learn a lot from Terry. She's been an angel, an absolute angel for me.
Wow.
And she's an amazing woman. And like I said, James goes into, you know, he's a Westminster winner. He goes to Ronald McDonald House. He is an amazing dog. He's beautiful. I've had the opportunity to take care of her dogs, and she's had to travel. And just, she's been an angel for me and my learning and helped me to keep my, you know, get my butt in gear.
Right.
So,
well,
Carol, you have been, the universe is embracing you. You have
thank
to
you,
J.R.
That.
And we're at the top of the hour, and I really want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. And I'm sure everyone else is thinking that too.
Right.
And we have to have you back.
We do.
So I will turn
I'll come back and play. I'll come back and play.
Thank
definitely.
You.
Hey, how about if I call you after we have the puppies? We'll talk after we have the puppies.
That sounds
give me
great.
A call.
We can definitely
I can tell you what we've had, and Miss Mama Kama's laying here all nice and comfy in the air conditioning, and yeah, I can't wait. It's going to be a lot of work. It's 24/7 care, but I'll tell you, it's everything is put on hold, but I love every minute of it.
Right. Well, we'll let you know when Carol has her puppies, and we want to remind you that we are back on again June 16th, where we will have Melanie Yost talking about essential oils that help you deal with stress and anxiety, which is a much-needed modality and things that we have to deal with in today's society. Thank you again to JR for being a wonderful co-host on this show with me and for Carol to come and join us today. We hope that you all have an incredible couple of weeks before we are back with you again. And we'll just sign off thanking Dana and Ariana Agnellini with One Light at a Time.